Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Now, back to the guys.
Gresh and Fourier on WEEI.
I think the guy's very mechanically sound. He is what he is from the standpoint of he can make plays off platform and move and create things when things break down. In the college game as well as the NFL, you're never going to have, or you're very rarely going to have, a pure clean pocket. You're going to have to be able to move around in some of those things. I mean, the guy was 20 years old and, like I said, played two seasons. So obviously there's things he needs to improve on, and he understands that as much as anyone. But there's also a lot of clips where he was really clean in the pocket and his feet were set, and he made really, really, really good throws.
That was Chip Lindsey, the UNC offensive coordinator, who joined us a half hour ago with Gresh and Fourier, 11:02. We were in Detroit for one final day, and oh boy, there's one person who disagrees with Chip Lindsey, and that would be the former head coach of the New England Patriots and now, dare we say, draft analyst, Bill Belichick. Who, you know, was really interesting? McAfee had really no one else there. It was kind of his crew and Bill and him. I think there might have been, I think one of the guys who are like a former pro who kind of rotates on the McAfee show, they might have been there, but they were really just like, Bill, what do you think?
Yeah.
I mean, he's the only
guy.
Yeah,
it was Darius Butler.
All right, Darius Butler, who's a part of the McAfee show, so he's really a part of the crew. It's not like, you know, NFL Network or ESPN where it was, you know, here are three or four analysts and maybe an insider. It was, no, here's Bill. He can handle the whole thing. It was pretty interesting. I'm curious to go back and watch the whole thing from beginning to end if possible. But Bill Belichick talked about, and there's a lot that we're going to get to, but here's the short one of the Bill Belichick on the biggest issue with Drake May, and this is where the analysis disagrees a little bit with Chip Lindsey.
Drake May, his footwork needs a lot of work. You can see here, he's just all over the place, never resets his feet, never really gets in position to throw, gets strip sacked.
So I know that Kevin O'Connell, the head coach of the Minnesota Vikings, before the draft said, if it's lower body, it can be fixed in his mind. Do you subscribe to that theory?
Well, yeah, it's like I'm trying to make a comparison. If you can't, I would say like if you are struggle with math, right?
Okay.
If say like in someone tries to teach you calculus, I don't really care how much work you put into it. This is not your subject. Right, like you'll get some of it, but you'll never master it. It just takes too much time, too much energy, and you're not wired the right way. The footwork stuff can be fixed, right? Like you know, set steps, timing, repetition over and over, situational awareness. All right, because right after that, he showed some clips of Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. Here's how you do it right. Let's take the two best quarterbacks to ever do it in the history of the sport.
Well, that's
let's
what you want to shoot for.
Yeah, no, and I think, yeah, so, and I do think there is some situations that caused him to, regress a little bit.
Here's the worry for me on the footwork part of it. I want, like, for me, it's the why. Is it because a defender flashed and he thought, oh, man, I got to get out of the way? Is it because they had a leaky offensive line? And does that footwork tie into bad eye mechanics. Because then you're looking at the rush, you're moving your feet around, or you're looking down and then you're looking back up and you're trying to pick up the people that are open, because in the NFL, you're done. Like, well, you can get away with it against NC State. You can get away with it against, you know, Central Florida or whatever. You're not going to get away with that in the NFL. So are some of the lower body issues and the footwork that Belichick mentioned, does it lead to bad eye discipline? Because if you're going to have bad eye discipline and you're looking at the rush in the NFL, that was Mac Jones last year.
But the footwork has to do with his accuracy.
Well, the footwork does affect accuracy, but why is he not keeping his feet set? Like, there's a little more here because Bill did a longer breakdown.
Yep.
And, Nick, we can start and stop this, right? The longer breakdown
yep.
that Bill had on Drake May. Why don't we just kind of listen and go through it a little bit, and then we can sort of raise our hand and kind of stop. Go ahead.
Well, again, a very talented kid, good size, runs well, has a good arm. Just he hasn't played very much. He really doesn't have a lot of experience, and he makes some big plays like this. This is an amazing play where he kind of throws going backwards, puts the ball right on the money.
Whoa.
And those are the highlight plays that you really like from May. You know, this is one where he just doesn't really finish the play. You know, he's got – you know, double coverage here on the slot receiver. He's got guys open inside and outside of the, and just throws it into double coverage. So, again, he's going to need some work in reading defenses, reading coverages.
He comes with reps.
He's quick to come off the receiver here. That's as open as they're going to get in the NFL. But yep. I'm just telling you, like, they're not going to get open by like 8 yards in the NFL. So
you've
got to deliver.
That's the line I like.
They're not going to get open that way in the NFL. And again, if your feet. Why are your feet moving? Is it because you're uncomfortable? Is it because you feel pressure? Is it because you see something? And then, because I saw that highlight of the whole, that there was probably 2 yards of separation on that play that Bill
said. And why didn't he throw it?
And then the whole, that's about the kind of separation you're going to get in the
NFL. And that was from last year.
That's right.
Okay, where everything was, I think he regressed in a lot of different ways. You could still see that he had athleticism, but he wasn't even close to having the numbers that he had when he was a true sophomore. He was probably 19 years old.
Yep.
Because when Chip Lindsey got him, it was in the December of 2022, right? And then he coached him all through the 2023 season.
Yep.
And there was just it was just a different offense, some similarities, but still. That to me is so important because everything's quicker in the NFL, everything's tougher, and I would tell this to quarterbacks when I would go into huddle, throw the freaking ball.
Well, it's
throw the freaking ball. Why you just throw? Well, you're not open enough. I don't want it to get picked. This is what it looks like in the NFL.
I'm glad you said that because of all the people that we talked to during the draft process and. Even like, you know, again, I'll go back to Charlie Weiss and people like that. It's the whole, what are you looking for? We talked to Kurt Warner about it and the whole accuracy and anticipation. Can you do that if your lower body is wiggling around a little bit? It's one of the big questions that we will end up having about Drake May. And to me, it's the why are your feet unsettled? That to me is where it's got to begin. Like, where do you start to get to the point to where you're moving around too much that, like, Bill would point it out?
So real quick before we finish the sound up, because I know we got to get to it, is, like, all those if you play the piano, you start with chopsticks, you learn it when you first start. You get your fingers warmed up, and then and a lot of piano players, like, they have a little routine. It's basic stuff they learn when they're a kid.
Your analogies today are fantastic.
Steph Curry. If you watch videos of Steph Curry, anything about him when he talks about shooting, when he warms up, he doesn't start shooting three-pointers. He does the same routine 2 feet away from the basket, 5 feet away from the basket. Mm-hmm. He finds – that is what – he's going to be doing the same thing. He's going to be doing the same thing, and but he has to do it for 2 years. 2 years, but the thing that is awesome that this guy's a psycho when it comes to competing. He how many times did we hear? I hate losing.
Arguably, that's his best trait.
Yeah.
And the whole brothers thing that we talked about earlier in our little exclusive with him. All right, Nick, let's hit play.
They're not going to get open by like 8 yards in the NFL. So just you got to deliver it in there. He's kind of quick to bail out of the pocket, and you know he's going to have to hang in there a little bit longer, I think, and find those receivers. This is a really good throw here he makes. This is. you know, the in cut here. He really drives the ball.
Rocket arm.
That's a nice play. This is a kid that can make all the throws. He just needs to be more consistent.
Can we stop for a moment? Wow, he went to straight analyst. He went to straight. He can make all the throws.
When have we heard that over the 23 years? It's the old indicator of the, oh, boy.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That was Bill's indicator of all these guys where it was, oh, they got mechanical issues elsewhere. Well, but, you know, they can make all the throws. That was the indicator of he can make all the throws, but there's a lot of other stuff to pick apart.
That is funny because that would always be, hey, you're playing against fill in the blank for the quarterback that you're playing against, and sometimes it's a stud, sometimes it's a backup. Some guys, the guy that doesn't belong, like a rookie, and he would always do the whole Wednesday, hey, he can make all the throws.
There you go.
Oh, no.
That stood out to me. They
don't like him.
Keep going, Nick.
This is a kid that can make all the throws. he just needs to be more consistent. Here's another one where he's, you know, should just stay in a pocket. He doesn't have any pressure. Just stay in a pocket and, you know, take his reads and scrambles out early. Then he throws the ball late, and it almost gets it picked off. So transitioning from a college quarterback to a pro quarterback here is, you know, he just needs some time and experience. Here's a late throw over here. Wiggins picks it off. Again, kind of open receivers down here. We got to hit them. And again, kind of, I'd say, too quick to scramble and get out of the pocket. Of all the quarterbacks, he was the lowest rated in the pocket thrower.
Stop.
Whoa. Oof.
Your thoughts?
Out of all the quarterbacks that he broke down, he was the lowest rated.
Okay. And
I get that right?
Yeah. So I would again assume, and I don't think Bill's big board had all of the quarterbacks maybe as high. I'd have to look because I gotta we got
he
it
had
right
here. Caleb Williams 1, Jaden Daniels 2, Drake May is his 5th ranked prospect.
Okay, but to Christian's
then JJ
point,
McCarthy 17, and that's the last one he ranked.
All right, there you go. So he at least ranked 4 of them. And the one guy in the pocket, it's just an interesting notation from Bill. Go ahead.
You can see right here, he can definitely do it. That's a good throw against cover 2 on that corner route behind the corner.
Okay, so that's fine. You know, even when I'm listening to this, I wish this show was on 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave a true
breakdown of those five guys. Yeah.
I wish he gave a breakdown of Mac Jones.
Okay. He also ranked Bo Nix 36, so I guess that would be your comp kind of to Mac Jones.
Good Lord.
And all that stuff. So.
What's really funny is, so he didn't even have Penix in, like, what, a top 40 or something?
No, he ranked 42. Michael Penix was 9.
We'll get to the Falcons thing because that's unbelievable.
But again, listen, that's one man's board. That doesn't mean that he's right.
Oh, wait. Nope. There he is. 37. One spot below Bo Nix.
Oh, okay. Right. So 37.
Okay.
It took him 8th. Good Lord.
Wow. I tell you what. It is fun to listen to him talk.
How much of what you were hearing, when he was like, we got it. You got to make that throw.
Well,
you
know, some of those little lines did stand out to me about when he would, you know, address the team. Right, listen, they're not going to get any opener than that. They're not going to get any
more open.
You're not going to find a better situation than that. Well, what are you waiting? Yeah, and then it becomes to mocking you. What are you waiting for? What's wrong with you? You know, that he left that part out.
Yeah.
He left out the, like, what are you waiting for, a bus ticket? Like, there's always some knock at you, you know, there's teaching, there's analysis, there's – What are you waiting for?
Well, that's like
you waiting for an invitation.
That's like the needling you. That's the whole.
This is how stupid you are. Like, you should know that he's not going to get any more open than that. So what's your problem? Throw the damn ball. Why are you running? Stop bailing on the play.
Like when you hear him be like, you know, we need some more patience in the pocket. Like that kind of, like, I can just. Like, it's the whole, you can just hear it over again.
Yeah.
And with the whole, it can make all the throws. That was
the one. I can get a guy from Foxborough High to stay in the pocket better than you.
Let's get this one more in here because we know we got Razor coming up. So McAfee asked Bill about the franchise quarterbacks, right?
Ooh.
In the whole top of the draft, right? And here was Bill's response.
Well, I think with May and Williams, you have two guys who are really talented. You know, Caleb had a good year ago when he won the Heisman Trophy. Not as good this year. Dre was, ACC Player of the Year 2 years ago. Had less of a year this year. I think you see guys who are young that need a lot of development. You look at Penix, you know, he's had a whole career in Indiana and then Washington. Bo Nix, Auburn, and Oregon.
Jaden Daniels,
you know, has Arizona State. He went back to school, had a great year this year, won the Heisman Trophy. So those guys that have had a full career, McCarthy coming out a little bit early, but he had the year in prep school. Like, those guys have had, you know, good full college careers, and I think they're just ahead of these kids who have a lot of talent, but they really need a couple more years. They're not going to get it in college. They're going to get it in the NFL.
I did not know the whole deal about the prep school thing with J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah.
So he actually was a fifth-year high school guy.
Yes.
He was a grad. He was a grad guy, and he's still young.
Yeah, McCarthy's, what, 22?
He's young.
21, whatever it is.
Jeez.
So interesting stuff from Bill Belichick, to say the least. I'm sure that when we get into the second half of the show after we talk some baseball with Lou Maloney, there are some interesting rumors out there connected to the Patriots and maybe some other teams as well. And we have the second and the third round. And lo and behold, the New England Patriots have the second pick of the second round. What are they going to do with that? We will get to all of that coming up a little bit later on. We'll talk some hockey with Andrew Razor Raycroft next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
No matter where you work from these days, take Gresh and Fourier with you on the Odyssey app. Favorite WEEI.
Huck it talk.
In the movies, they always go out and find a kid who's really good to join the team.
Hey, that's right. We need a ringer.
We need a Canadian.
We've seen Fourier on skates before, so all of the talk is nonsense.
They're dinosaurs. They know how to, like, survive.
I got to shout out Razor. That donut's for him.
Don't worry. I got Bruins plate. People get out of our way.
Au revoir. Have a good game.
Yes, we are in Detroit covering the draft, but it is also time to talk about the Boston Bruins, who will play a game four coming up tomorrow in Toronto. Sheldon Keefe, the Toronto coach, has been riding the Wambulance. Joining us now, our buddy from Nesson and WEEI. You can follow him on Twitter at Andrew Raycroft. It's Andrew Razor Raycroft, Aggression Fourier. Hello, Razor. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. I was curious all evening last night if I would actually hear from you or if Detroit would have got the best of you. So I'm glad to hear you.
Detroit did not get the best of us. However, we did take your advice and not go to Windsor.
See, here's the thing, Razor. Like, it's the first thing I do. Okay, so we roll in. I'm like, oh, there's Canada right there. There's this cool little Caesar's Palace Casino.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, let's go there. And Greg's like, well, you know, he told us not to go there. I mean, he's lying to us for some reason. He's keeping it from us. It looks like such a nice little cool little area.
Can I tell you what I think Razor was setting us up for? Now, there may be nothing nefarious, right? But since we're going down this road, Razor, am I wrong? If you don't have a passport, they, like, turn you back around and send you back. So my my suspicion is that you knew we would be sans passport and we would be the idiots at the border who would get pulled aside and then sent back to America.
I actually hadn't thought of that, but yes, you absolutely both would have done that. You would have shown up and not had passports like knuckleheads. That's funny. I didn't really think about that, but that would have been quite the scene over at the Ambassador Bridge. And they, you know what? You wouldn't have just been like turned around. They would have brought you into the room and been like, it would have been like a 4-hour interrogation. Like, what are these guys up to? Because anybody who thought they were going to get in here without passports needs to be interrogated. So, Did you ask anybody about Windsor or no? You didn't even get to it.
No, you scared us.
I did a little Googling, Razor, because I know that Michigan is a 420 friendly state. Although you can't buy a blunt in the city limits here. It's crazy. So I started to look into delivery, which they won't deliver to a hotel. They'll deliver only to local addresses. So I did at least a little bit of cursory research to see if you were trying to set us up to all of a sudden have the Royal Mounted Police escorting us back over the bridge.
Yeah, no, it's just not a good place. Like Detroit is way better than Windsor. So now that you've been in Detroit, now you know the reference point. Detroit is way better than Windsor.
Well, why in the world? What is Sheldon Keefe up to? Is this just the normal kind of back and forth, Razor? You know, he was bitching about Marchand, and then Jim Montgomery makes a statement about, you know, Domi hitting Swayman and said, maybe Swayman's getting in their head. And then Keith fired back at that as well. What is the Toronto coach up to?
Yeah, I've known Sheldon Keefe since we were 12. We played against each other growing up. I've known him for a long time. And he's not really good at this stuff. Like, he's not... He's not a social person. He's not very good at communicating. And this just isn't his thing. And, of course, being in Toronto, that's not ideal. And he's taken a lot of heat, you know, since he's been the coach. Like, he's just not – he's very robotic, and he thinks he's trying to say the right thing, but it doesn't come out right. And he is grasping at the smallest, thinnest straw at this point. He's in big trouble. He knows he's in big trouble. He's frustrated, and he's just trying to do what he saw a bunch of other coaches previously do, but it sounds horrible, and it didn't make any sense after the last game, especially when the Leafs were the ones that had the 5 power plays, not the Bruins.
Yeah, so I'm curious what you would do in this situation, because I know nobody pushes you around. Nobody makes you look like a fool. So if Max Domi kind of gives you a little elbow as he's kind of passing by you, what would Razor do in that situation? Because I felt like it was an ultimate sign of disrespect that when Domi did that to Swayman the other night.
So, well, Razor would have handled it two different ways. One,
okay.
And I think let's go scenario one in a different way. Scenario one is I'm really actually minding my own business and I'm actually going out of my way to not like skate right in front of everybody.
Yeah.
And somebody comes out of nowhere and elbows me. I probably lose my mind and I'm not fighting anybody. Like, I don't fight anybody. I wouldn't fight anybody. I'd slash somebody. Like, I'm going after someone with my stick.
Yeah.
Cause I'm not fighting. Scenario two, which I think is more in line of what happened the other night in Toronto, where, you know what, I'm just going to weave my way through here. And I might find some fire while I do this. And if I do, I'll make a scene of it a little bit. So Jeremy could have, you know, you're going to take a lot of heat in the second period. As a goaltender, your second period, you're going past the bench. People are going to yell at you. They're going to say stuff. They're coming after you, all that. And I'm also not going to get out of my way if someone gives me a little nudge. So I think that it was a little more premeditated on Jeremy's side of things than just Domi going after him.
Andrew Razor Raycroft with Gresh. It is all fun. It really is. Razor is with us breaking down Bruins-Leafs Game 4. After Game 3, Jeremy Swayman said, in the nicest way possible, I think, that, hey, I'd like to stay in the lineup type deal. Is that a I'll steal a Fourier. Are those comments a big deal or no big deal?
No, I don't think it's a big deal. What I think it's, and I think this is actually fair in, because some of the narrative, and I'm sure, listen, these guys have heard all of the narrative one way or the other. And we saw it after the first game too, where Swayman said, you know, it's about time. And then he backs into like a real answer, but I think he's speaking for both of them in saying, we both want the net. Like, we want to play consecutive games. We're not going to get tired. Like, there is a narrative out there where these guys can't do it back-to-back, and they need each other, and they need to rotate only to be good. And I think they just want – I think Jeremy especially, but I think he's doing it for both of them in that conveying, like, no, I can play consecutive games, and I can win consecutive games, and I don't need a rotation to, like, feel good. Like, I'm in pretty good shape, right? Like, I'm well-conditioned, and I could actually play one game every 4 days. Like, I'm good. So I think he's just trying to convey that and make sure that everybody knows that they're not completely okay with the rotation. They want to do it, and they want to win, and they'll do whatever it takes to win, and they like each other. But they're not completely, like, I'm just surrendering to the rotation, and I don't want to play back-to-back games.
So you were right last time we talked to you about who you thought was going to play game three. You mentioned Swayman. He started. Now what? Who starts on Saturday?
Listen,
you've got a good record. Stop being a baby. Tell me who you think is going to play.
This one's actually harder because I'm like, holy smokes, you have to go with Swayman. There's absolutely no chance I would ever go away from Swayman. And I think a day and a half ago, I was 1,000,000% on Swayman. And before the game, I said, if Swayman wins this game 3-2 or 4-2, I am playing Jeremy Swayman in game four no matter what. And then I kind of woke up today and I'm thinking, are they going to go back to the rotation again? And so... So listen, I'm 1,000,000% on Swayman, but I'm not. I think any other situation, I'm 100% that they would play him. But here, I'm like 90% Swayman. There's still 10% saying they might have decided they're going rotation for four games. I think it's dangerous, but they could go back to Allmark because Allmark did play good in game two. I'm not. You go with the guy who's won five in a row against the team, typically.
Razor, I know that a little shuffling on the defense for game three. How do you see the D pairs shaking up for game four?
Another really good question. Another interesting, what they do. Usually, and you guys know that, you stick with the winning roster. I think in this situation, Mason Lowry played really well. He made a couple of plays that could have cost them severely. He got away with it, especially in the third period with a play to the middle of the ice that on that same shift, Marshy goes down and gets the game winner, but it could have went the other way. I'll be interested. We'll know a lot of kind of what Monty thought of a few of those plays, depending on if Lowry comes back in or if they go back to Grizzly. I would probably stick, again, I like sticking with winning rosters. That's what I've been taught my whole life. Ever since the age of 10, I've been told, if you win, you stay in. If you win, you play. If you win, you're really good and you keep playing. So I really have that in my head, and it's hard for me to get out of it. So I think they go back with Lowry. I think they go back with the same roster. But Grizz is close and hanging in the wings and can certainly play at any point.
You know, we're talking to Andrew Razor Raycroft now. We've been stuck out here in Detroit, so we've been you haven't really seen all the news but coming out of Toronto. But is Nylander going to play?
Migraines, headaches, concussion, back, ribs,
jeez,
everything. He's got everything.
Sounds like Fourier, yeah. Throw a shoulder in there and it's Christian.
Exactly. And like Fourier, he's sitting out. not playing through it.
Yes. Oh, that was an uppercut. Listen,
every now and then he slips one in. But hold on, Razor.
Well, you just told him that he wouldn't get bullied on the ice, and you bullied him for an answer.
I called him a big baby. Okay. So, tell me if you agree. Here, you want to know my 3 stars from Game 3?
Oh boy.
Tell me if you agree on this. Okay. Now, my third star would be special teams. Okay.
Yeah.
0-for-5 on the PK. The Toronto 0-for-5 on their power play, and then the Bruins were what? Two power play goals, right? So that's my third star. My second star was Swayman. Did a great job. And my number one star, my numero uno superstar guy that I love more than anybody, is Brad Marchand. What do you think about that?
I love it. You're right.
Right
on.
Would that be the order you would put it in?
Yes. Yeah. Brad, you're kind of waiting for Brad to have that. And after the loss, you're like, oh, I wish you would have loved to have seen him score in game two. And then he does it in game three. Like that's vintage Brad Marchand on the road in Toronto, everybody against them, the whole thing with Bertuzzi right from the start of the game, and then getting the winner with a rip over the glove that we've been waiting for as well. So no question Brad Marchand's number one star. No question. That's the one game, right? He needed to do that one game and just to flip the switch. And now you look for other guys on the team to pick up and find the next couple of wins. But that one was all Brad, and very captain-like, very, very leadership-like.
JVR staying in the lineup? What do you think?
I liked his game. Yeah, I wouldn't change the forwards. I thought he did a good job getting to his spots. I thought he changed things a little bit on the power play. He got to that. He had arguably the two best chances of any of the forwards in the entire game. So I would keep the forwards similar.
Okay, last one for me. The philosophy that the Toronto's going to come out with on Saturday, is it altered or changed at all? I mean, I feel like sometimes they're chasing their tail on who they want to be. Sure. What do you think you see on Saturday?
Yeah, they're Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. I think they have to score goals no matter who's in net. You know, 9 of 10 games, they've been 2 goals or under in the playoffs, their last 10. Like, they have an issue with going. And I think they're trying so hard to play defense against the Bruins. I could see them trying to open it up. If I was Sheldon Keefe, I would say, you know what, guys, let's try and trade chances. Let's see if we can open this up and get the Bruins out of their game a little bit rather than playing. It was a really tight checking game, and I think the longer the game goes 0-0, I just feel like that's so pro-Bruins. So I kind of expect the Leafs to go, we're going. We've got the best forward group in this series, and we're gonna show it here. So I think it'll open up a little bit more than what we saw in game three.
Razor, you mentioned the pressure that Sheldon Keefe is under. If Toronto goes down 3-1, are they Dunsky?
Can I not be the jinx of that? Or like, I saw the Bruins go 3-1 and,
totally
and
fine.
Lose last year. So
I get it. You're a goalie. You. I respect that. Unlike Fournier,
what do you guys think? Let's put it the other way. Are the Leafs Dunsky if the Bruins win Game 4?
Oh yes. Yeah, yes. Yeah. Because the weight of all of those people will just rain down upon Sheldon Keefe, and you know, like with the whole Nylander thing, like hasn't been handled well. But that guy being out, I mean, that's a massive blow for them. And I just can't see them finding a way to sort of muster up enough to be able to come back if they lose tomorrow.
Yeah, I might probably, maybe, possibly agree with you. How about that?
All right.
Well, we'll take it.
All right, there we go.
That's a safe way of answering that.
Do you have any more insults for Razor before you
How did I insult him?
I think you used the word baby.
I know. Well,
he is a baby.
He's a little sensitive and cautious when it comes to critiquing goalies because that's a whole brotherhood, and it's somehow he's going to get paddled by Swayman and Omar. If he says anything, he's like, and he's going to have to say, thank you, Sway. Can I have another one?
Oh, that is fantastic.
When are you guys getting out of there? When are you guys home?
Oh, my God. Not soon enough.
Okay. Hey, Razor, can I just lay out a scenario for you real quick? We're on the 8:10 flight on JetBlue back to Boston.
Don't jinx it.
but I think it is the last flight back tonight.
We'll see you tomorrow morning.
Hold up.
He just jinxed it.
I mean, he just screwed it up. I have UMass tomorrow, so I got
You had UMass tomorrow.
No. I'll land in Springfield, I guess, if I need to.
Better get in that car. Hey, how long will it take us to drive back?
12 hours, and I can't do that.
Check the rental car. Check the rental car in Detroit Airport.
Sweet Jesus! If that's the real Razor jinx, then we'll figure it out.
No. It's a beautiful day here. You guys are all set. No issues at all. You'll be here. You'll be in your bed by 11:15.
Jinx, again, do not take, just again.
I hope so.
If we get jinxed, I hope the Bruins lose.
What are you taking it out on Bruins fans for? Hey, Razor, thanks, buddy. We love you. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you
next week.
Thanks,
Razor.
Thanks.
All right. Travel safe, boys.
There he is.
There's our buddy, Andrew.
The best hockey mind in the city. How smart is that guy?
I don't think there's a better
– listen, we're lucky we have him. The next thing we know, the dude's going to be doing national, like, full-time. We'll never see him again. He'll walk by us and act like he doesn't know us, like some of the knuckleheads here. You know everybody here. You know everybody. I've never seen Gresh hug more people in my life. Everybody gets a bro hug. Everybody.
I do.
You're the most like likable guy in the city.
I don't know about that.
I'm telling you.
I think there might be one.
This whole exterior that you're trying to build, it's all fake.
I think there might be one writer in town who would co-sign on my alleged reputation. Would you agree?
I scolded that guy, too. I don't know if you saw it.
I know you did.
I yelled at him.
I know you did.
During the Drake May press conference.
Yes.
Twice.
I polled him. Let's put it this way. There was one of the very few local writers that made the trip who, and am I mischaracterizing that with him standing beside me and completely ignoring him, it made it really uncomfortable for you and others, but I loved it.
It's fine. I don't care.
You were amused as hell.
I was just like, I was diving right into it.
You learned a lot about the whole... Yeah, I can put up the wall or I can be the greatest guy
ever. I'm amazed how committed you were to it, too, by the way. You finally broke. You finally broke because it was too – you couldn't not say anything at the end because it was like the dude was like on your lap.
Yeah, pretty much. Just say something. We will hopefully make you some money with the lunchtime parlay next.
This is Gresh and Fauria on WEEI.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go wherever you go. Just download the Odyssey app.
Hey, time to make you some money. Time to make you some money with a lunchtime parlay. This is when we take $10 of, well, our hard-earned money, your hard-earned money, and we try to give you four picks for you to be able to make some cash. We are up $266.61 on the year. However, yesterday, not a winning day. Nick was all over Drake May to be the number three pick. Did you know Drake May closed at minus 290, I do believe? That is still very bettable. Like,
what time was that? Because Tom Pelissero tweeted out like an hour before the draft that the Patriots are taking Drake May.
Yeah, I know I checked it, or you had it at 240 when we made the pick yesterday. I did a little hit with the friends in Vegas, and they checked it at 430 Eastern when I was on. It had gone up to 290, and I talked to my oldest, who he was responsible for my wife yesterday at the draft party. God bless him. And he looked at it and said, no, I think it's still 290. And I'm like, that is very bettable. I couldn't believe it. Bobby Dalbec didn't hit a home run. Jokic ended up 4 points short of going over. And Billy was in on it. Yoshinobu Yamamoto. He had 7 strikeouts on a line of 6.5. So 2 winners, 2 losers. Oh,
and Lou is wrong on the whole Bobby Dalbec.
Are you going to bully him the way you bullied Razor?
Absolutely.
He hit a home run foul ball, though.
Does it count?
No.
Did he really?
Yeah, he actually did.
Was it like one of those Troy O'Leary home runs with when Jerry Trupiano was calling the games? Way back foul ball.
He could have done the whole John Sterling. Oh my God, it's gone. What did I miss?
What did I do?
What happened?
What did I do?
Where did it go? Where's my TV?
It would have paid $375 had we come through yesterday. So very much
long
worth
shot.
It. All right, let's get to it today. The Lunchtime Parlay is presented by FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook and the official sportsbook of WEEI. Devin Booker has been struggling this postseason. I know the Suns are kind of up against it a little bit. People have been really picking at the Suns. However, I think Devin Booker is going to go over 25.5 tonight. So I'm going to go with a D-book to go over. Billy, good morning.
How's it going?
How did Bubba like his first NFL draft?
Oh, he was asleep. He was asleep. I'll tell you in the morning. I go, but I'm thinking they're going with Drake May. He said, all right, fine. I'm going to bed. Grabbed his bottle, went to bed.
That was it. You'll get him a little Drake May onesie or something.
Yeah, I'll get something. He's overdue. He's got a couple Patriots things, but no real like jerseys yet. So it's tough to decide which one to get him. Plus, hey, I don't know how many they make in that size. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Oh, that's true. Hey, I met Kofi Kingston.
I saw the photo.
Yeah, he had the Patriots shoes on. So maybe we can find like the little Patriots shoes for Bubba Lanny.
Yeah.
Well, you're not going to if they did draft Marvin Harrison Jr., there's no way you were getting a jersey because he just doesn't want to make any money off items. He hasn't signed his little new rookie deal with the NFLPA, therefore they can't even make his jerseys, therefore they can't sell it.
Well, when your dad has $100 million on his own, maybe you don't value it as much. I don't know. What do you got,
right,
Billy?
The Oakland A's are in Baltimore to play the Orioles. I'm going with Corbin Burns over 18.5 outs.
I like it.
Whenever I hear Corbin Burns, I think of the actor Corbin Burns.
And I
think of Major League.
Dorn.
Because he played Dorn. He played shortstop.
I love it. Oh, God.
He was the third baseman. It was Dorn.
Yep. Roger Dorn, that's right. What's this Ole Bull-ish? Oh, God, I love it. Chicken Nick, what do you got?
I'm going with some hockey tonight. The Predators and Vancouver Canucks are tied up at one and headed back to Nashville. But the thing is, Vancouver lost their starting goalie in Thatcher Demko, and Casey DeSmith is no Thatcher Demko. So give me the Nashville Predators on the money line tonight against the Canucks at home.
Thatcher Demko sounds like a hacker. I mean,
hacker.
The organization Thatcher Demko. Yeah.
It's in the web too.
He's a Russian spy.
Yeah, Russian spy. There you go. He'd be like in a Bond movie or something like that. And finally, two-time Super Bowl champion Christian Fariai.
Celtics -9 over the Heat.
Easy.
The predictable is they're going to win. The question is by how much. You're going to find out how irritated and how mad they are about that game 2 loss with how they perform and how they put their foot on the Heat's throat, and they don't let them breathe. They should be able to win more than 9 comfortably.
So Celtics -9, Predators on the money line, Corbin Burns over 18.5 outs, Devin Booker over 25.5 points. Ladies and gentlemen, your $10 would win you $163.58. We'll get that out on social media, Gresh Fauria, WEEI, Gresh and Fauria. On Instagram. By the way, if you missed our exclusive with Drake May, you can see the video of that interview on both Twitter and on Instagram. Let's talk some Red Sox. Lou Maloney is going to get bullied by Fauria because Dahlback didn't hit a home run next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.